Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is the big one. It is the Man City preview show, of course, coming up on Sunday. It is scary to think about. If I think about it too much, I'm getting a bit worried, but I'm also a bit excited as well with it being at Anfield and stuff. Of course, we're going to get into that, but first, of course, we need to get stuck into last night's 5-1 win over Prague in the Europa League, which was also mad game in terms of the scoreline being 5-1. It could have been a very different game, I think, in terms of their chances and stuff, because I think it was a bit of a weird game in terms of us conceding chances, but us also being very good in front of goal. Darwin Nunes being a beast, as he always is. But before we get stuck into it properly, I'm Mick Moran and joined by Christian Anderson once again. Christian, how you doing, lad? How's it going? Looking forward to it being the weekend. Looking forward to it being Man City. It's loads to look forward to, lad.
Yeah, it's Friday, the sun is shining, we won 5-1 in the Europa League, so, you know, we can never say that it's done and dusted, but, you know, most likely we're already through there, and obviously the big game coming up on Sunday, which we'll talk about, and yeah, I agree with you. I'm a bit nervous, but also excited. It's a mix of the feelings, because we are still top of the league, and we're playing at home. If we can get, you know, 3 points in this game, that will be massive going forward. So it's just one of them where you can feel it in your stomach. It's like butterflies in one way. But like I said, I'm not like nervous in a bad way. I'm more nervous and excited because I know what we can do and what the crowd can help to do. So if we can get that together with the players performing and, you know, coming out straight away, you know, in the first second, then it can be a very big, big game and a massive result, hopefully.
Yeah, I do wish it was on Saturday. I do wish it was tomorrow, to be honest, because like I'm nervous today. I'm going to be even more nervous tomorrow. And then it gets around to Sunday and you're like, oh, fucking hell, it's here, finally. I can't wait. But let's get stuck into last night's win over Prague, because like I said, it was a bit of a mad game. Like we were, let's talk about the lineup first, like we always do. So the lineup was Kelleher. We had Gomez right back, Konate and Kwanzaa, centre half, Robertson left back. Midfield three of Elliot, Endo and McAllister, and then a forward three of Diaz, Gakpo and Darwin Nunes. So strong. I think it was warranted because I knew Prague were good. I think they surprised me how good they were. I think when you come up against these sides, it's like, oh, the top of their league, they're a decent side. You think, well, because they're the best in their league doesn't mean that they're a good side. Do you know what I mean? In terms of they'd be able to threaten us too much. But in terms of like, we've just been talking about before we started recording, about like the quick passes they were doing, quick triangles, pacey players, technical ability, like very impressive. So you could see why we were taking them quite seriously with that lineup, couldn't you?
Yeah, and I think I read somewhere that they were unbeaten at home this season. I can't say it was 100% correct, but you know, it says something. You know, the Czech league might not be the best league in Europe, but still, you know, they are the best team in that league. And you know, if you're unbeaten at home, it says something as well. So there's a different thing, obviously, about playing teams that comes from the Premier League. But I think they surprised a bit about, like you said, they were very quick on the count. Obviously, we were the team that had possession and kept on attacking. But every time they had a through ball coming and, you know, over the top of our defenders and in behind, they had really, really pacey players. And they caused a bit of troubles. It could have been a different scoreline. We could have still won 5-1, but it could have been, you know, 5-3, 5-4, even if they took the lead, it could have been a different story in terms of chasing a game. So in the end, I wouldn't say we came away easy, because, you know, it was quite a stable performance from us. You know, not too much we had to work, but it wasn't that hard of a work. And I think, you know, we just have to see now when we play them at home that we probably arrest a few players and stuff. But yeah, I think, you know, from what they did, they look good. But, you know, it's Liverpool. It's tough for them to come up against us, because we are really good, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a throwback to the early Klopp days, I thought, or even like Brendan Rodgers days, where it's like, well, we're going to give you a load of chances. We're going to hope you don't score. But we're also going to go down the other end with Suarez or Sterling or Sturridge or whoever and be lethal in front of goal. And that's kind of like how it went. Like, it was a bit of a crazy game. Of course, we take the lead in 6 minutes, McAllister doing what McAllister has been so good at since, like I always say, after coming back from injury, because I think he's been a different beast since he came back after seeing Endo in there and having to come back, and he's been unbelievable. But like the presence of mind and like the knowledge to, right, he's going to take a bit of a touch here, I'm going to gamble, I'm going to take it away from him and then won the penalty, step, gets back up. And then at that moment, I thought of you instantly, because I was like, right, Mac has got hold of it. Is he holding it for Darwin Nunes like last time? But no, Macha stepped up and I didn't feel nervous at all. I think if it was a bigger game, if like, say, Sunday, I would have been shit myself, of course. But like a game like this where it's still a crucial game, you still need to score first and you still need to score early to give yourself the best chance. But McAllister has just got this air of like confidence about him, hasn't he? Just I know we've talked about like left-footed pens and all that in the past, Salah and all that, but I always feel like a right-footer who's like a proper technically gifted midfielder is got like a higher degree of scoring than other players, and that's what he did. It was a lovely pen as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you know, the work that he did to win the penalty, that's, you know, clever play, and you know, it's showing his you know, football smartness as well, getting the pen and then stepping up. Like you said, I didn't feel nervous, because when I saw him stepping up and he was taking, I was like, yeah, I know that he's good at penalties, because he took them in Brighton and he's been taking a few for Argentina as well. So, you know, that's not saying, oh, he's the best, but, you know, he just has something around him with an aura that, you know, he's confident. He's very direct in that sense. So when he put that penalty in like that, I was like, yeah, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see any, sorry, but, you know, sometimes Salah, they're not, we've been talking about this, he score loads, but some of his pens and touches, like, well, finishes more like, it just like, it's not perfect, like, you know, body, leg, and then the combination of a touching a ball in that kind of position. But, you know, when you see penalties like this, there's no goalkeeper in the world who saves it, because it just goes straight, so like hard down the corner. So if he continue to do that, then he can take more penalties. Not, you know, that's, I already said that I would like him to take more penalties, so I can continue with that as well.
Yeah, I think he's give himself a shout, I think, just from burying that one last night. It's always good if you've got, like, say Nunes is on the bench or Salah's on the bench, whatever, you've got more players in there you're going to be starting, then yeah, it's even better. And McAllister's like, he's so vital for us. Like, he's become like, we already knew how good he was, and it maybe took him a bit of time to get used to like the system or whatever, but since coming back from injury, he's been absolutely amazing, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I think, you know, for the prize, the £35 million or whatever it was that we paid for him, you know, it's still cheap when you look, because he was really good in Brighton. He was a World Cup winner as well. He played in the Argentina, won the World Cup. It says something as well. But it's just more like, you know, the way that he kept on developing as a player, it took a little bit of time maybe to get into the system, but I think he's been good all the way through. But now at the moment, he's one of the Premier League's best midfielder. And, you know, I know I read before that, and I think that will happen anyway, but, you know, Jamie Carragher had like a column. He said, you know, Virgil van Dijk, Phil Foden and Declan Rice is probably, you know, the best players in their teams during the season. So whoever go maybe and win the Premier League for the team will be the player of the year. And I agree with that. You know, Phil Foden has been really good. You can't say anything about that. Declan Rice obviously having his impact, and Virgil van Dijk is just the best defender in the world and the best defender the world has ever seen. But, you know, when you look at Alexis McAllister, I don't think he's far behind in terms of, you know, how you perform for your for how he performed for Liverpool and what he means for our system and the way he played, because he's a technical little gifted player, but with work rate and smartness and, you know, great passes, he's just got all the important parts playing in a midfield for Liverpool. So I don't think he's very far behind of being, you know, a contender. What do you call it, like for being a player of the year? Then I think obviously there will be someone else, but you should rate him in that kind of bracket as well, together with others, because he's so great.
Yeah, I think if he carries on the form he's been showing, he'll be in and around those shouts, no doubt, next year if he carries on the way he's been developing, definitely. Another fellow we love gets the second goal, and it's reminiscent of his Bournemouth one a little bit, I guess, in the cup, where he gets it cuts inside. And scores for LFC. Just use a bit of the Jota song there. But yeah, it just slams it in. The keeper's had a bit of a mare there, I need to be fair. A bit of a Jordan Pickford moment where he's lost his head or his arms have halved or whatever. He's just had a bit of a mare. But Nunez, I think the power Nunez puts on it, I think when he's in them areas, like he can snatch them, but when he hits them true like he did in that one, of course, and the second one as well, which we might as well talk a little bit about as well, to encapsulate both goals, because the first one was... Yeah, just Nunez just being a threat, bit of a risk, I guess, on that edge of the box like that, where it could go over. You could, but get it on target, and then if it's on target, the keeper's got work to do, and the keeper didn't do anything to it, so he flies in, and you're like, get in. And then his second one to put us 3-0 up was even better, and I think what we, because it encapsulates what we've just been saying about McAllister with the. Everything he brings, like the tenacity, work rate, creativeness, everything in there, but like the ability to play assists like he did against Forest, like a perfect assist. I don't think this one was as good as that, but in terms of like looking up and knowing, it's having that connection. I think we don't want to go too far and be saying like Gerrard and Torres and all that, but like when you've got someone that good in midfield who's got an eye for the pass, and you've got someone also as good in terms of running in behind, it's easy for them to connect, because they know, right, I'll play it into this area. He's got enough pace to get on the end of it. And that's kind of what happened with the second one. I thought he was going to hit it like after the first bounce. I thought he was going to welly it, but he let it bounce again because it probably got him a bit like the 5-6 yards close to the goal. But then the strike, how well he hits it, it was just like, this is what I want to start seeing. Like, I want to see this from Nunez. Obviously, we're not going to get it every game where he's scoring 2 and 3 goals, but I'm so excited if that's going to happen in the future. I'm just waiting for it to explode into life and do this all the time. But in terms of what he's been doing and what he's done in this game, it was just boss to see, weren't it?
Yeah, and you know, first goal, like you mentioned, I think, you know, it drifts away from the goalkeeper a bit, you know, so it obviously is a problem for him, but I think, you know, a goalkeeper should do better. And I think the Swedish commentator said that, you know, if it was in the Premier League, they're probably goalkeepers, you know, saving that, or, you know, get a hand on it and, you know, push it over the bar or something like that. But I don't want to take anything away from Darwin Nunez scoring that first goal, because I think, you know, first of all, he has the confidence to go from out there, and he gets it on the target, and the ball does, you know, move in the air. So the goalie, obviously, when he sees it and it goes away from him, it's hard to just adjust from where you are. So it's one of them where, you probably might find it harder to score like that in the Premier League, but at the same time, you will be able to score that in the Premier League as well, because you hit the ball that hard, it moves, and it can go into the net. And, you know, we're just happy that he scored, because it's good for his confidence. It's a booster ahead of Sunday. But then the second goal, like you said, that's another thing, because, like you said, he let the ball bounce. But from that angle and the power and the way that he put his foot through that ball, it just makes it so much power behind it, and perfect away also from the goalkeeper down in the corner. That's a proper striker finish. So, you know, that's, like you said, if we can see that more from him in those kind of positions and situations, you know, he will score great goals, and he already does. But, you know, that's the Nunes we want to see when it comes to power and shooting hard. Then we want to see him obviously having this little bit more like nice and calm finishes as well. But, you know, we can't have it all the time. But the way he does finish, but you know, finish when he comes into this situation, they are all different, and that's what I like. It's just not one who can do one thing. He seems to have everything in his locker when it comes to, you know, finishing like a bouncing ball, finishing from the outside of the box, finishing with his head. Sometimes if you look back at the Newcastle game, the start of the season, you know, when he came on and just changed that was perfect finishing, you know, world class. So I just love that. And obviously scoring goals in a game like this, maybe it's easy in the Premier League, but at the same time, that's perfect ahead of Sunday against City, because obviously He knows that he can score goals, but to have scored two goals before going into that game, obviously that is something of an advantage in your head that you're going to try to do that again. Because what we know is that a striker with confidence does score goals, and sometimes they just score goals because of, they can come in a situation where they just, everything is just, you know, in a rhythm and comes together, and they can score from anywhere really. So that's really good for us, obviously.
Yeah, I think I had a little look on Twitter, and I saw like the little clip after last season, after the last game, sorry, where him and Pep have a little bit of a little debate after the match, and you can see Klopp legging it over, going, "Oh fuck, what's he gonna say?" And they have to get pulled apart. I'm like, I want the Nunes we've been seeing in terms of like lethal in front of the goal, but I also want to see that angry Darwin Nunes going into this game, and that's what I want to see. I want, obviously not too much, because we know what. He's a bit of a live wire. We don't want to be getting like yellow cards and reds and all that shit. But like, I want to see a nice blend of that. And I just can't wait for, like, because the way they play, of course, like Highline and Nunes is like the perfect player you want to be playing, like against the Highline like that, where they're, no defender can keep up with him. Doesn't, I mean, if he's over on the right side, it's going to be a good foot race, him and Kyle Walker. But I imagine he'll veer over to the right, so he's got more space in behind. And yeah, I'm honestly can't wait. And I've seen some stats, and we might as well talk about the Nunes stats before we get stuck into the rest of the stuff. Otherwise, we'll go on a tangent. So I had a little look. So 16 goals and 11 assists in all comps this season. He's already bettered last year's tally of 15 and nearly trebled his assist tally from last season, which he got 4 assists last season. He's on 11 so far. And yet one more goal already, and I think he's played 3 less games than he did in last season. So amazing stuff. And then I saw one from Sam Maguire on Twitter. Darwin Nunes in 2024, 749 minutes, 8 goals, 4 assists, a goal or an assist every 62 minutes across all competitions. So he's getting a goal assist every hour in a game. Incredible. It really is. And like you said, Europa League and whatever, doesn't matter what competition he's in. Not it won't be as good as Champions League, of course it's not, but he's still getting involved, he's still making stuff happen, he's still doing all the Darwin Nunes stuff that we want to see, but he's also backing it up with tangible results, with assists and goals. And yeah, he's just a fucking, like you say every week you absolutely love him, but it's just hard not to love that fella. It really is. He's just incredible, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think when I talked to my brother like the other day, a week ago or something, we were talking about players, you know, players in the past, and I don't know why we just came into that kind of subject, but I just said, you know, Darwin Nunes is easily top 5 favourite players of all time already for me, or something like that. You know, when you look back on your heroes like Carragher, Gerrard and Fowler and all them, but, you know, you got, you know, the Torreses, the Sabalonses and all them, but there's something about Darwin Nunes that I just love. I just think because he's like we said, his self-confidence is that high all the time. He's cheeky as well, but he's got that fucking madness in him, and you know that he can get angry as well, what we've seen. And then he scores goals that is you know, amazing, and then he can miss, you know, sitters. And obviously, I don't want that, but that just makes him entertaining for me. And that's why I'm into football as well. I want to be entertained. Obviously, I want Liverpool to win, and you don't have to do it, you know, overdo it or make it hard for yourself. Sometimes you just need like the 3-0, and that's it. Don't, you know, do more than that. That's fine, 3 points. But when you look at Darwin Núñez, I always find football interesting and entertaining when I see him play for us. So he's just one of them. Like you said, you just love to watch him play football, and he makes you feel something. And, you know, nowadays with the modern football in different ways, that takes away emotions, and that, you know, VAR and even, you know, the 115 fraud team and all that kind of stuff, which we were talking about. When all that kind of things is going on with corruption and money and Champions League changing, and, you know, there was a Super League that were talked about and was obviously taken away, but now they sorted this in another way, and it's UEFA instead. We don't have to go into that, but the way the football is changing and going in the modern era, with all the money and all the shit that goes, you know, on behind the scenes, that's when I really, really appreciate players like Darwin Núñez, because that him makes me think and hope that it's still not over for the international football. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm sometimes think that, you know, one day I will step away from all this because it goes in a direction which I don't like. I'm not there yet, but sometimes I get like in a, it's almost like a dark place where you think like football has been my life and the way I support Liverpool and, you know, played myself when you've been young and stuff like that. But then you're thinking, if it's going to continue like this with all the corruption and all the shit, and, you know, people, you can't trust people. There's breaching rules. There's, you know, hierarchy and, you know, the people on, at the top doing things or blah, blah, blah. You know all this. Then I feel like I'm not going to be part of it because I don't enjoy it. But when he plays, that gives me hope.
Yeah, he takes it back to basics, doesn't he? Like, it's like,
exactly,
you forget about all the other shit. And that happens when, yeah, obviously Liverpool play, like, you forget about your worries for 90 minutes. That's why we love the game. That's why it's our life. Like, because we want to enjoy footy and then forget about everything else for 90 minutes and I enjoy pints with your mates, etc., etc. But I think he's just one, like you said, you analyse it there. Like, he takes it back to basics in terms of, like, he just wants the provide box office entertainment, and that's what he's all about. And if you can back that up with, like I said, tangible results and goals and helping us win stuff, then it'll only add another layer to how much we love him. And I think that says a lot, and considering how many layers there is already to love.
Yeah, and I'm not going to drag his on, but, you know, that's the thing as well. Haaland is, you know, probably the greatest striker in the world, and, you know, you have to be serious about that, the way that he scores goals, obviously, for Man City. That's the way it is, and he's brilliant in that way. But he can score as many goals as he wants for them, you know, and be, you know, breaking records every season and winning things. He can never, in the way that I see football, bring the same emotions into me, or, you know, be, you know, get the same feelings into my mind and my body the way that Darwin Núñez do it. And I'm not just saying that because of Darwin Núñez playing for Liverpool. If Haaland were playing for Liverpool and just scored loads of goals, I would be happy as well. But it's just something about him that is boring. Like, what I mean is Darwin Núñez as a person and as a footballer combined, and the way that he is and where he's come from, it's just something else that I enjoy and appreciate more.
Yeah, well, I was going to bring up the trend quotes and all that, but I'm sure everyone's seen it. We've seen the Haaland response, of course. Like, I think Ruben Diaz was having a little pop as well, saying, "You don't know what it feels like to win a treble and all this." It's like, all right, but yeah, you don't. We spoke about it on one of the pods, like, about, like, supporting us and knowing, like, the club and stuff, and, like, how we went about things. That's what Trent was getting at. It wasn't like, he wasn't undermining the way that, like, the trophies they've won. It was more how they've won it. I think that's the key thing you need to remember.
And we probably come into that when we talk Man City in a while, then, we?
I just said we're not going to talk about it, so we are going to talk about it. All right then. We'll leave that in a minute. Let's get back to the Prague game. Half time. Bradley comes on at half-time for Joe Gomez. Pre-planned change, I imagine, just to give Gomez a bit of a break. Scores an absolute worldie straight away.
Yeah.
Top corner. What a finish.
Yeah.
Gives him a little bit of hope. But I think I thought at that time, it's the least he probably deserved, because they've done quite well. They had a few chances. Kelleher was I mean, we can do another 10 minutes on Kelleher because the fella is just, he's taken it to ridiculous levels that I didn't even think he could reach in terms of, I knew how good, how quality he was and how talented he was, but in terms of like having a run on the side, he's been amazing. But he weren't going to save that one from Bradley, unfortunately, because that was a beast of the finish. So 3-1. And then that the scary bit happens where 4 minutes later, Konaté. So because we mentioned like Prague, we had the high line. They've got pacey players, good technical players, passes over the top, balls in behind. So the constant running full speed backwards, chasing backwards is a thing. What annoys me though is we do that, but the refs do that thing, which we're not even, let's not get into it, where they lift the flag late and it's like, well, we've just ran our like 100 meters in fucking Usain Bolt levels of speed to get back, or only for you to go, oh yeah, it was offside. And then
exactly, I hate
people,
it.
People can get injured. This is what happens. Yeah. And it makes it look like, I always think it makes it look like we're getting battered more than we are, but it's because we might concede five chances, but three will be offside. So it's only two chances that we've conceded, but the other two were offside. But it goes along with the, oh, fucking hell, we're getting hammered here. But it's like, well, three wouldn't have counted. So, and then, of course, he pulls up, he goes off. He looked fine to me, and I think at that point, I was just like, I do care about the game, but I am now thinking straight ahead to the end of the game where Klopp's going to tell us what's going on.
Yeah.
And thankfully, he said, he just pulled up saying if he does one more run, he's going to be fucked. Something along the line. Didn't say fucked, obviously. I'm paraphrasing. But he said something along the lines. Yeah. Yeah. Trey fucked. He said he's going to be very, very fucked. But yeah, so he pulled up, which is, I think it's drummed into them. Like if you feel anything or whatever, just stop and let us know because we don't want to get you to take an extra risk. Maybe should have came off at halftime. I saw people saying that. And it's easy to say in hindsight, but I get that point of view. I do, because like we know Konaté, for all his extreme qualities and whatever, one of the downsides is his availability. That's like a massive thing that we've always said. He can be one of the best in the world. I think he is already, but it's his availability and his, I think his game's based on his physicality. So I think that comes along with it. You'd have to maybe, he's so strong, so quick. He's doing massive sprints, high speed, quick turns, all that stuff. So I think sometimes that's why we've been careful with him this season. And I think hopefully this is one where we've caught it just in time because he didn't run that last run that he did. But that was a scary moment. So thankfully that's all sorted. We'll talk about the team news for City in a minute. But then Diaz puts us back in front, 53rd minute, 4-1 up. And then at that point, I wasn't worried when Bradley scored that Perler and put them back to 3-1. I was more like, I'm expecting us to get another goal here, and it only took, 7 minutes for us to get the other goal. And then you kind of, I mean, I was already relaxed, but you could be like, right now, the three goal lead's restored. It's like, now you can change some players and change it around a little bit.
Yeah, I was into that. When Luis Diaz scored that goal, I was like, let's make some substitutions now and make sure that we rest ahead of Sunday, because we don't want to risk more now. Like, because of Konaté, you got that in mind as well. Like, this can happen to any player, really. But like you said, we can have this well. And, you know, the offside thing and stuff, it's not only the runs. It's that, you know, sometimes it could be even time before they raise the flag for offside where, you know, players come into physical challenges or, you know, tackling or whatever. And that can even, you know, end up, you know, with injuries, but should even happen. So I think they should change that, just to say that quick, because it's not only because of us. I think it's just stupid that they keep the game going and there could be a risk of injuries if you have a 100% sprint or if you go into a challenge and then after the challenge the linesmen go up for the flag and someone is lying there and still have, you know, haven't pulled themselves up from the ground because of an injury. So it's stupid. But yeah, 4-1 up, I just like, let's make some substitutions and get this done now and make sure that we rest and save players for Sunday, because Sunday is so massive. So when he scored that, and it was a nice goal, a little deflection obviously, but it's nice to see him being involved and scoring as well, because it's good for his self-confidence to be involved. So that was really good. And we probably, you know, can talk about that, but, you know, Harvey Elliott as well, you know, assisting and being really, really great. You know, he's just, you know, playing so many minutes, being a young lad, you know, now obviously having the rhythm playing the team because of the injuries, but he shows that he's competing for a place. I know it's going to be hard when Szoboszlai is back and McAllister obviously in his way, but the way that he puts in an effort, works hard, and, you know, the quality that he produces for us now when it's been the situations he's been in, it's just amazing, you know. So I'm really happy that we got this kid in our team, and that we will continue to have him, because, you know, he works so hard, and he got quality as well. He's a good footballer, you know, assisting, providing. So, you know, all credit to him as well. And, you know, he's been, we've been giving him credit for the last couple of weeks, because he's been, you know, performed that well. So, yeah. You know, if you don't think, or if you don't rate Harvey Elliott, you know, I don't know why, to be honest. There's no answer to that. It's just stupid.
Yeah, 3 assists for Elliott last night. So, I mean, he's a little genius. He is. I think he can. I'm excited to see what levels he can go to. I think that's the main thing for me. You can see how good he is now, and I think that's why he's not quite a first teamer when everyone's fit, because he's got that impact from the bench and, like you said, the energy and stuff, and eye for the pass and all that stuff. So we want to see more of it. We want to see more of it, of course. Just before Diaz scored, so of course Canate goes off, Van Dijk comes on, Nunes goes off at the same time. People start losing their minds over that as well. Szoboszlai comes on, people were like, oh, fucking hell, is he injured as well? You're like, nah, he's sound, don't worry. And then, yeah, Bobby Clark comes on for Macher, which is, yeah, it was like, I was thinking half an hour, on the hour, get Macher off instantly, because we need him fresh for Sunday. Salah comes on for Diaz, 74th minute. Salah then scores, in inverted commas, 84th minute. Let's not get into like lines drawn and like camera angles and all that shit. But the main thing is, and it reminded me, if his next goal will be his 20th goal in all comps for the 7th season in a row, will be the first player to ever do that for us in our history, which is it's mind-boggling. It is.
Yeah. And he should have had that goal.
He should have had that. I'm convinced he should have had that goal. But hopefully, in a weird way, it's like, right, save that for Sunday, lad. Like, no, exactly. In your head, Sunday. Yeah. Do you want to score 1-2? Sound, just go for it. Like, get yourself that 20th, over the 20th line. But just to wrap it up, so obviously I get us goal as well, 90 plus 4 minutes, and yeah, 5-1. And like you said, it's a nice result, a very good result, considering like we had to make a few changes, and then like I said, Canate getting injured, a bit of a worry there. But in terms of like the likes of Quonset and more experience for him, more experience for Bradley, more experience for Kelleher, Clark, all these players coming on who are onto the field who we trust so much. And I said that on one of the shows, like Quonset and Bradley just come like playing, and you just like, you're expecting high levels from them, which is the biggest compliment you can pay them. Like, you'd expect them the same quality levels that you see from a Gomez, that you see from a Canate, etc. So it's boss to see, it really is. Looking ahead to, of course, next Thursday, where we bring them back to Anfield and hopefully just get the job sealed and get it done.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So let's move on to the juicy one, the one that we've been waiting for. It's hard to, I was trying to put it into words, like I was trying to write it down, like what does this game mean? Like, and I was struggling because it's so huge, I think, and especially because of the way the fixtures are going as well, I think, for them. So of course, 1 point ahead, if we win, please win, we go 4 ahead with 10 games left. They've then got Arsenal next game, and I think they've got Villa after that. So they play 3 of the top 4 in their next three Premier League games. So when they play Arsenal on the 31st, we play Brighton at home the same day. So, like, it's getting, like, you're thinking ahead, and you're like, you're getting maybe a little bit excited, and you're like, you know, like, after the Brighton game, there'll be 9 games left. And it makes me sad because 9 games, Premier League games left of Jurgen Klopp, but it also makes me think that the end is in sight, like, that you can see light at the end of the tunnel in terms of, if you've got, I don't know, if you've got a 5-point gap, if we beat them, and then if they draw with Arsenal, like, I mean, like, just craziness, or whatever gap it's going to be. I can't work out the maths. My brain's going crazy. But if it's anything more than 4 or even if we draw, and then I don't know, like there's loads of variables, of course, but in terms of, like, the game, how you're feeling going into it, of course, the Trent, well, I wasn't going to mention the Trent quotes, but you said you want to talk about it, so let's talk about it. Trent, like, saying all that shit about them, like, it means more to our fans, and we, of course, completely agree. They're not going to, of course, not going to say that, because the City fans just lose their mind over it. But I think it's a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of mind games or whatever it is going into the game. But it's always a huge game. Of course, we played them early in the season at their place, and Drew and Trent was on the score sheet then. Going into this one, I think we said at the start of the show, like, I'm excited and nervous, but I'm just excited just to see. It's all about, like, I always say, like, that it's like another test, and it's like, it isn't another test. Like, we lost against Spurs in a mad manner. We won't get into that. We lost against Arsenal. We deserve to lose that one. But in terms of, like, the bigger sides at home, I want to see us, like, put on a proper show. And from the first minute, I think we can't afford to go into this game, like, and be a bit cagey. It needs to be 100%, 100 miles an hour. Like, maybe a throwback to the Klopp old days of, like, heavy metal football and all that shit. Going back to that and, like, go properly going for it from minute one, because we know how good they are and we can't give them a minute. I think that's the main thing. We need to be very fucking on them from minute one.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. We need to be all over them straight away, and we need Anfield to be on it from, you know, the first second, or even before the game, to be honest. Like, we need to make the environment for them hostile, you know, in a way that where, you know, the atmosphere will blow them away a bit, because obviously they're not used to it. So if we can, you know, have that pre-match as well, you know, when welcoming the players, and, you know, keep that going straight away early on, and bring that into Anfield, into the game, and keep that going, that will affect players in a positive way for them to perform, you know, that can raise their levels because they feel that the crowd is behind them. And then obviously the players have to do their part by go out there and be 100% straight on it from the first second. There's no point to, in my mind, to, you know, sit back or anything, because that's the problem with City. You can't give them time on the ball, because that's when they are so good to control games. If they get hold of the ball and find their like triangles and the way of playing and keeping the ball, and you know, that's when they move around and find those little spaces in behind and can put balls into Haaland or whatever. So we need to just make sure that they never get the time that they want to have. I'm nervous in a way, because the game, you know, I wouldn't say if there was a game where we already were, like, you know, 6, 7, 8 points behind them, you know, one of them season, it's still a big game. But now they're so, we're still top of the league, but, you know, it's so much to lose in a way, because we know that they're going to go and be so good for the rest of the season. Arsenal's there as well. You know, you can't take them away from the top and just not think about them, because, you know, in a bad way, they can be the surprise team that actually goes past both and goes and win it, because they are really good at the moment. You can't say anything else, and they are at the top with us together with City. So, you know, this game is so massive, and like you said, I'm excited because we're playing at home. We've already done the away part where we had a point, which was really, really good. But, you know, to go into this game, I don't know, just, you know, thinking about it now makes me feel nervous, and I wouldn't say, you know, feeling a bit ill, but, you know, it's just, I'm more nervous about how we start. Like, I just want to see that from the start, where we just go crazy. And in terms of what, you know, Trent said, you know, we can talk about everything that is commented on Twitter or, you know, media and stuff, but we obviously get what he mean, because he also mentioned it, like, and what we already mentioned so many times, we won the titles that we won in the right way. You know, still Man City are not, you know, found guilty of anything, but you don't have 115 charges for breaching financial fair play rules and different kind of things around within that kind of area from nowhere. Like, they don't just pop up, and, you know, there's been documents from Der Spiegel and, you know, people who posted this and that, and even ex-employees that said things. So there's loads there to suggest that, you know, something really, really dodgy has been going on. And I think that's the problem with everyone, not only Liverpool supporters, that everyone, because I saw even Man United supporters, you know, going on at City supporters supporting us, because they said what they won, meaning us, Liverpool, will always be respected. What you won will not. That was a Man United supporter saying that in a thread that I saw. Because it's the same. It's the same thing around. I, as much as I hate Man United and what they won and achieved, I can still respect it because it was done in a way where they built the team from, you know, young kids, clever business, built the brand up, earned their money, had, you know, clever sponsorships. But in terms of Man City, obviously they are bought by a state that has dodgy way of, you know, making money and put that into the club. And also with, you know, the sponsorship deals that we were talking about, like that some I don't know, sponsorship companies or whatever, doesn't even exist and stuff like that. It's just sports washing and making money, you know, cooking the books and all that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, that takes it down to, and I understand that Man City supporters or the players will never admit it, you know, obviously officially in their channels or on Twitter or whatever. But that's what we mean when it comes to it means more, because we won within the rules, because we were respecting and honoring the competition with others. And someone said, you know, oh, you just jealous now because we have all the money. I'm more like, you can have all the money in the world, like Man United have had before, because you can earn it the right way and you can be clever in your business. Also, like we have done now, you know, when it comes to the money coming in. But it's the way you use the money, how it's coming in, how it's, you know, that's the problem. Not that you have money. And that's what I mean with, if you win things within the rules, you respect the other teams that are you competing with. Some teams might not have as much money as you. And that comes down to popularity around the world, you know, sponsorships, you know, the bigger you are, the bigger sponsorship deals you will have, all that kind of stuff. But if you do it within the rules, whether you're Leicester winning the Premier League or whether you're Liverpool winning the Premier League, as long as you've done it fairly and by the right way and by the rule book, no one can say anything. But that's the problem with, you know, City fans or players or the club itself. No one can respect their titles 100% because we know there's been dodgy things going on and they've still been under investigation. We don't know how long it will take. They are still allowed to compete and win things, you know, fine. But that's where they don't see things that we see. Like, that's also why it means more, because if you win like the way the football looks today with competing with Manchester City and what they've done in terms of all the financial dodgy stuff, if you win it, then obviously it's going to be respected and mean more, because you're up against the Lance Armstrong of football. And I'm not saying that to be cocky or anything. That's how so many people name them, because that's how it feels. Someone is, you know, not doing it by their rules, and that means cheating. And if you cheat, obviously it's easier to win in whatever context. If you cheat, obviously, and cheat to win, and you do win by cheating, obviously if you've done things on the way that makes it more beneficial for you, and that's the way it is. So yeah, I just wanted to have that said in terms of what they were talking about on Twitter. But that's how you look at it. You can never respect it because it hasn't been done the right way. If it was done within the rules, it wouldn't be any problems.
Well, we couldn't complain, could we? That's the thing.
Exactly. Because then you build your team by the rules. You bought them by the rules. You use the financial, you know, you could, you know, show your books in terms of, you know, what do you call it? Like, you know, the numbers and everything was okay. And then you've done it the way that everyone else should be doing it. And someone obviously brought up Everton and Forest. You know, oh, Everton, they were found guilty and they were punished. Yeah, because, you know, they cooperated as well with the investigated party and they were found guilty. And yes, they were punished. And then they obviously didn't do as much as Man City have done, because they've done it over a long, long period of time. So that's why it went quicker. But, you know, at the same time, they were punished because they were doing wrong. It's nothing more to say. Because they were found guilty. So yeah, we're just waiting for them now to, you know, hopefully, to be honest, found guilty and see what, you know, what happens. Because there's no way they're innocent when there's 115 charges, obviously. If they were, if they found innocent in 50 of them, fine. But, you know, still guilty of the others. You know, we'll see. But that's why no one can respect you, Manchester City, because that's the way it is.
That's why I didn't want to get into it. Because we are, like, this is the thing, like, because I agree completely, but it's like, it's just, I just found it like, we just have to wait and see what happens. Like it is annoying. It is annoying because like you think about all the stuff we could have won and whatever, and it pisses me off. And I try not to think about it, but the playing fields.
Yeah, but I just want to say as well, you know, it's not only us what we could have won. It's, you know, because if they've cheated, obviously, we could have been on top winning trophies. That's obviously going to be something you will remember and be angry about if it comes down to, you know, they are guilty. But it also takes away the teams that's been, you know, below because obviously they've been taking a spot at the top. So that means that some teams have missed out on the Champions League spots while they were cheating. So it affects everyone, not only Liverpool who missed out on titles. It's the integrity of the competition and where some clubs could have been today if it wasn't for Man City doing things 5, 6, 7 years ago. So what they've done affects so many other teams and players in terms of what happened, you know, in terms of economy and players who could have bought. So it kind of affects everything. And that's what I'm coming down to. If you don't respect the rules and follow the rules, you destroy for so many, not only Liverpool fans or the club of Liverpool Football Club. It kind of destroys football. And do we want that? I don't think so.
Nah, well, we don't, obviously. But yeah, let's have to wait. It's one of them. Like it's. I always say the boring thing. Like, let's just wait and see what happens. But I always find like, because we all can say this, but it could all mean nothing really. Because they might just be like, they might just get away with it or whatever. And yeah. It's not even worth. I just want to like wait for it to come out whenever it is. Probably another.
If that happens though, then we can. And obviously, we just have to drop it. Like, if you know, you will be really, really mad because you know there's something dodgy been going on. There's no doubt about that. But if they found, you know. If they're innocent, obviously everyone just have to drop it, I guess, because there's no point to go on about it. Because, like you said, we're just waiting now, and we are sick of just waiting. I'd rather have something you say, and they're innocent, we move on. Or, obviously, they are guilty, punish them, instead of waiting and wait. Because during the time that we are waiting, and it takes years, obviously they can go and still win, you know, trophies and stuff. And obviously, if they found guilty, you're thinking, well, you know, they still won 3, 4 titles during that period of time. Is that fair? Like, that's the thing. It's a problem for everyone, I guess.
Yeah, let's move on to some footy stuff because it gives me a bit of a headache talking about all that shit. Because I've replayed it in my mind that many times, all the different scenarios and whatever, and it's like gives you a headache. So let's not talk about Man City, apart from. Like how we're gonna play on Sunday. That I think that'll cheer us up. I think. So I think in terms of team news, then I think that's the. I think it's pretty. In my mind, I was writing it out this morning. I was like, that it's pretty straightforward. I think in terms of what the 11's going to be. I think the only question mark is now because of the Canate stuff. Yeah. Who, if he's not 100%, and we know Klopp, if he's not 100%, and if he says that he's not going to play or he'd be on the bench or whatever. So what are you thinking for starting 11?
There's been, you know, different kind of discussions I've seen about it. And obviously with Konate probably being out because it feels like, you know, it's something that he might not come back to be able to play like from until Sunday. So I wouldn't mind to see Gomez playing central defender with Van Dijk because obviously he's done that before greatly. Because we're playing at home, because if we were playing away, there would be another question about Gomez maybe going out to the left to be more defensively skilled. But Robertson on the left and, you know, Bradley on the right at home, I don't mind that because I think we need to have them, you know, coming with speed, overlapping and being a threat as well. So I could see Gomez going down to play next to Van Dijk. Because of his experience, because of his form. Not saying Kwanzaa, obviously, because he's been really good. But I think this is a game where, you know, it's so important. So I don't mind seeing that, to be honest. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if Canate's fit, I saw someone post about like Robbo, and it's like he's not really quite there yet. And it's to be expected because he's come back from a long injury and he's not quite at the same level, and I was like, if I could, I would probably put Gomez out there just because I think it's good to have a right footer on the left as well, especially when he comes inside. But I think against like whoever they're putting out there, whoever it's going to be, I think he's because of the pace and the tenacity he's been showing and whatever, and his commitment, he's been class. So it's a difficult one. I think Bradley, of course, has to play on the right. And I think if Kanate isn't fit, I think I would go Gomez alongside Verge and go back to a throwback to the title winning season where they were both boss next to each other and obviously very good mates and all that. So I think there's a few options there, of course. But I think it's very strong. I think I'm excited to see how Bradley does. I think he can be a threat like he has been. And I'm hoping this is the game where Robbo is back to himself. I think it's took him a few games, whatever. He's not been quite there. I think we saw that again last night. But I'm hoping it's just going to click. And it'll only take one game and then he'll be back to himself. But I'm hoping Sunday's the game. And it's a game where you don't really have to get yourself up for it because we know how massive it's going to be. It doesn't even have to be stated how big it is. I think Robbo and obviously the rest of the lads will know that completely. So I'm hoping it's the game where he properly turns up and few late challenges, few little dirty tricks that we know Robbo loves, the little dark heart. That's why we love him so much, because he's one of them. He likes to wind up people and that. And then midfield three, I'm thinking if Szoboszlai's fit, he's straight in. Endo and Maka. I think that's the three. I think Elliot, like we've mentioned, has been very good. But if Szoboszlai's back fit and he came onto the pitch, Endo played the whole game, so he's ready. Maka came off, so he's had a half an hour rest as well. I think that's the three that I would pick, just because we want the tenacity, we want people flying into tackles, we want Elliot for later, last half an hour of the game, where he can come on and make a nuisance of himself and carry people and stuff. So I think that would be my midfield three.
Yeah, I think Szoboszlai obviously looks a little bit rusty still, even if he scored last night. But I think in terms of physicality and, you know, driving the ball forward and the range of long shots and passing ability, that's something that obviously Javier has as well. But I think in this game, his presence is important. And like you said, I agree with having Javier Elliott for a bit of a rest and being able to come on in the second half with all his energy and work rate that he has, when hopefully they are getting a little bit tired as well. You know, when you go into over the hour mark and all that kind of stuff, you have someone with all that energy who deserves a rest as well. He deserves to start as well if you look at the last couple of games. But I think in this game, you have to be clever and think about the whole, obviously, thing and how you set up your team. So I agree with you. I'd rather just have him coming on in the second half and start with Szoboszlai, because I think Szoboszlai is probably a starter in terms of he knows he's going into an important game. But sometimes when he comes on, it feels like he's not the same provider of energy, even if he got that. Javier Elliott does, you know, he does that really great. So I agree with you. That's probably the best midfielder we can put out in terms of this game.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's filled with all the stuff you need against City. You need, and I think, like we said, Szoboszlai and Elliot, in terms of like work rate and energy, I think they're putting in quite similar amounts in terms of like chasing stuff down and whatever. But I just think in terms of like having, like if it's gonna be tight, but if you've got Szoboszlai on the edge of the box, you can have a pop and score. Then you need that quality on the pitch. You can provide a moment of magic out of nothing, or with no Trent, free kicks around the box. You need someone who can step up and put a top corner. We know, he hasn't done it for Liverpool yet. I'm waiting for him. He scored a few screamers, but I'm waiting for one of them free kicks. He had one last night again when he was miles out, and I was like, come on, just fucking pop this top corner, lads. Expecting him to put it in there, but he hasn't quite found his rhythm with the free kicks yet. But it's going to happen at some point, and no better game to step up than and do it against Man City on Sunday. And I think the only other maybe question is, like, because Salah came on, but he's been out for a few weeks, came on for 10 minutes, got a goal that should have counted. But this game needs Mo Salah. It needs Mo Salah from the start. Like you can't, it's not like the next game against Brighton where you can rest them or you can bring them on 70 minutes. You have to start Mo Salah, you'd have to, and then you'd have to start Darwin Nunes, and you'd have to start Luis Diaz. I think that is the easiest choice for me in terms of the whole 11, apart from obviously Keller, because we don't want Adrian goal.
because Gakpo, he's been playing because of all the injuries, but I don't think he's been doing great. He's still, you know, providing, he's being physical, he can keep hold of the ball, but he had a few chances last night as well, didn't score. He had chances when we played the, I think it was Southampton as well, wasn't that good. Instead, obviously, the kids stepped up and stuff. So, you know, sometimes you lose a bit of form, and I think it's time now, you know, when Salah is back and we got Darmunis, that, you know, the front three will be Nunez, Salah. And obviously, used to have Salah in that starting 11, it puts respect to it. And, you know, City know he's a threat. He's a, you know, big match player as well. He's always, you know, popping up with something against them or the teams that are, you know, big in, if you put them in that bracket. And yeah, so that's an easy task to say, you know, them three going to play up front. And then obviously you got Gakpo's and others to be able to come on. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to see Salah again to play for us, you know, from the start. And hopefully, because he scored last night, should have had this goal. But like you said, maybe it's a bit of a, you know, fuel to the engine that, you know, he knows that if I score against City, even if it's more than one, but if he scores one, he got this 20th, and that's something that obviously he's chasing as well. So that will be in his mind. So yeah, looking forward to seeing him play. And that, you know, I almost said Chelsea, Man City, you know, will hate that he starts. So massively, I'm really looking forward to see that he plays for us in this game.
Yeah, I think especially when you look at, so I had a quick look at City's, I said we weren't going to talk about City, but we're going to talk about their lineup last game against United, just because it'll give us an idea of what they're going to do. So against United, they had, of course, Ederson and goal. They play like a back three type thing, don't they, with Walker on the right, Diaz in the middle, Ache on the left, basically like a Walker and Ache, like, well, I guess, wing backs in a way, or they're on that right hand side of a back three. So the right centre back slash right wing back. They can get up and down, but they also can go inside to make a three as well. Rodri and Stones in the two, and then basically have four with five. Bernardo Silva on the right, Doku on the left, Foden and De Bruyne behind Haaland. Like it's very fucking good on paper, and you know how good they are. As much as they're annoying, like that is a scary five in terms of what we want to do. And that's why it's like, if Robbo, it's going to be Robbo against Bernardo Silva, so we can get in his head, you can get at him, you can do those little dark heart stuff we want. Bradley up against Doku, like we know how good Doku is. So that's why for me, like if Konate is fit or if he's not fit, it gives us more percent of winning the game, because we know Doku's not going to want to be like getting past Bradley and then facing up with it. Ibrahim Konate, because we know not many people have not seen, there's been a couple who've got past them, but he keeps those wingers that you think, fucking hell, like he's so good. He keeps them people quiet, and I always think that's a massive sign of how amazing he is. Yeah, and I think if he's fit for this game, he's key in terms of if Foden's popping up around those areas, or you've got Doku or Bernardo Silva fancy going over that side and getting steamrolled by Konate, then yeah, please do, because I'd like to see that happen. But yeah, I think he just gives us that extra level of, especially with the high line, him having him and Van Dijk as a back two is massive. And then Gomez, if he plays in there, then I'm going to be just as happy. But I think Konate just gives us that little bit extra in terms of the pace and the physicality and just like scaring the opposition. Like
No one pushing Konate away. Gomez could be pushed away, but Konate's, you know, he's a monster. So he's in physicality in terms of having a challenge or just going up body to body. You know, that's where Konate is always giving you, like you said, extra percentage, because he wins the duels. He is quick and fast, and that's Gomez as well. But, you know, he's just got something where you feel very comfortable when he's around the area there, when they pop in balls into those spaces. So I agree with you.
Yeah, I think it's like a little bit of a mental thing though as well. Like if Doku tries to, if Konate's fit, and hopefully he is, like early doors, if Konate gets the best of him, or it's those little moments in games that I love, where if you get the best of someone early or like a couple of times in a row, like we've seen, like Martinelli, I guess, for Arsenal, where he'll try and come inside against Konate, because he knows if he goes down the line against them, it's not going to happen. So he makes the winger change what they want to do and makes them not do the natural stuff. He makes them come inside and then pass it off. So it's all those little mental, like incremental things that you need in a game that hopefully, like if Konate's fit, like then yeah, it's massive. And then of course, like if he's up, then he's up against him and Van Dijk are up against Haaland. You then got Foden, who's in the form of his life. You've obviously got De Bruyne, who's fucking pain in the ass, but he's incredible. He really is. So I'm excited, because the a level of quality on the field I mean, we can say all we want about like cheating and whatever, and yet we all know that in terms of like what they've got on the field, and just forget everything else. That's exactly what we need to focus on, because they're fucking very, very good. But the fact that we're 1 point ahead of them going into this stage of the season is that in itself I find incredible, because we know how good they are. We've only lost two Premier League games, and one of them we shouldn't have lost. We've lost the Arsenal game, which we did deserve to lose, but the fact that we're a point ahead and we can potentially go 4 points ahead, I think that's like, it's a little bit scary to think about the prospect of that, I think, because of all of the, like you said, all the factors that are married into it.
Yeah, you know, putting all the money and cheating, you know, away, you look at their team, and yeah, but if you just put that away and look at that team, like you said, they are, you know, brilliant footballers there, and the way that they play together on the pitch, you know, I find it a little bit boring the way they play, but you know, they're so controlled and structured, you know, they just fucking, you know, mold you down. That's the thing, and they find the space, and you have the players like Foden and De Bruyne just behind Haaland, and you know, this is going to be, you know, very, very tough to even get away with something. I'm not saying that, you know, out of our perspective now, because I think, you know, our chances playing home against them now at top of the league is good. So I will back us to, you know, perform well and actually could, you know, go win this game. Not easily, obviously, but you know, I think that we are that strong. But you know, in terms of Man City playing everyone else during the season and the points that they get every season, you know, meaning they obviously go win the Premier League or come second or whatever, the very few times that have happened, you know, that suggests, you know, their team is so drilled and they got so much quality. So it will be very, very tough. So everyone needs to be on the highest level performing, you know, when, you know, concentrating and out of the block straight away when you look at that team. So, yeah, it will be an interesting game. You know, it's one of them where you think, you know, what will... You know, what will we look back at, you know, end of season and look at that. So that's why you're nervous as well. So it's just one of them where you hope, come on, perform at the highest and just go and blow them away with Anfield behind you and just, you know, crowd and players together going, you know, hopefully it's one of them. I wouldn't, you know, say where we can win with this, you know, it's such a phase in a season where we say if we can go win with like a 3-0, 3-1, because everything is going our way and we blow them away from the start and we got the crowd, you know, that can happen if we want to, because together I think we can do that, because they're not used to it, because they are so used to controlling games and being so much better than other teams. But we got the special thing with Anfield. We can't underestimate that. That's something that actually plays a big part in the way we play at home.
Yeah, I think that they won't want to be, I mean, they'll be excited to come and play, but if it's one of them moments that we've had a few this season where the crowds like and the players are just synchronized, like we've seen so many times, like we don't have to talk about the times it's happened, but it's those moments. And then you look at like how we've been at home this season, like top of the home form table, home league table, I should say, in terms of points. So 13 games at home, 35 points, plus 26 goal difference. So we know we're formidable at Anfield. We always have been, but I think when we're in this type of form and this type of vein of form, we're like, Anfield is the old cliche. It is the fortress, and that's what you want to be bringing City to Anfield. You want to bring Arsenal to Anfield and see how they get on. So I think it's a test. It's a massive test for them. It's also a massive test for us to show that we're the real deal. I think that's where you want it. You want to be playing against City because how annoyingly good they are, but you also want to see, like, you want to test yourself against them and see, and you can measure and see, are we the real deal this season? I think that's why it's just so many factors. Like, you think about something else, and then you put another thing on top of it, and there's another thing on top of it, and you're like, all together, and you're trying to like digest that ahead of the game or during the game, and you're like, this is too much for my brain to like comprehend and whatever. But that's why we're excited. That's why we love footy and we live for games like this. So it's going to be massive. So onto the main, the most exciting part of the show, score predictions, lad. What are you thinking? I actually already know yours because we put it in the group chat, and I know we've gone for the same 2-1 to Liverpool. I think that's maybe the second time only this season we've agreed. I
went with 2-1 because I just feel like, you know, I hope we win, but it might be, you know, a very difficult one, a tight one. So 2-1 would be massive, but you know, I hope that we can go and win like 3-0, you know, to make kill them off. I know it's not, obviously it's City, it's not easy, but I hope it's one of them games where things just go our way, like I said. But 2-1, I just take them more as a result that feels more close to how I feel in my mind and not my heart.
it's gonna be tight. It really is. Like if it's 1-1, if it's a score draw, like then yeah, it's whatever. Like it's not ideal. We need to go and win, ideally, of course. But if we get a draw, it's not the, like, it's one of them. Like, just don't lose. I think it's one of them. Like, yeah. if you get a draw, it's not the best. But like, if you win, of course, like that's fucking amazing, 4 points and all that. But as long as you don't lose, I mean, I know it's at home and whatever, and Anfield fact and all that. I think that's, we'll know. I think you know straight away. The first 5-10 minutes, you know, like you can get a flavour of what a game's going to be. And I hope it's one of them games where you go, yes, fucking yes. It's one of them games. Like I can feel it. I can feel it in me belly. I'm full of fucking.
The right gear is there. Pints. The rhythm is there. Passes go into the right, you know, player. You know, we can see that we're coming into the right spaces. That's what happens, like you said, the first 5-10 minutes. When you see players taking the right run, when they win back the second ball, when, you know, things just, you can tell and sense straight away when things are clicking. So I hope that's, like you said, one of them where the first 5 minutes, we just feel like, yeah, we're in control here. If that goes out of the window, I will be nervous, because we need to work ourselves into the game. And that's why I think the Anfield factor is so important here, because if the crowd is up for it, it obviously will go down onto the pitch and into the players as well, and they know what they need to do, you know. So yeah, let's do it all together.
Massive. Can't wait now. Can't fucking wait. Thanks very much for listening. That's been the Man City preview and Sparta Prague reaction show. I can't.
The hour we said let's try to keep it to 30 minutes. I'm starting to have my rant about that thing, and it took fucking half an hour. So sorry about that.
No, I just didn't want to, because I know, like, I know what you're gonna say, not in like a bad way, but like I know what, like, the stuff that you think and all that, and we all know what we think about them. But it's just like, yeah, it's just, I just feel like I'm smashing my head against the wall. But yeah, can't wait for Sunday. It's going to be absolutely massive. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks to Christian for jumping on. Thanks to everyone. Like I said, wherever you're listening or wherever you're listening from, we really appreciate you. Enjoy the game on Sunday, wherever you're watching it. If you're going to the game, if you're watching at a pub, whatever you're going to be, be as loud as you can. If you're going to be in the ground, then yeah, fucking hell, like ramp that up as much as you can, because it's going to be tense but exciting. I absolutely can't wait. But yeah, we'll leave it there. Nice one, everyone, and we'll let's see us maybe on Monday. get me breath back. See us on Monday when hopefully we've got a lovely little show in store for us, where we say Monday. We might be too pissed on Monday, but we'll see. We'll try our best to do it on Monday, and let's hope the Reds can go and do it. Nice one. See you later. Ta-da.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
Network.